Welcome to the Toddcast. I'm your host, Annie Pyatt, here with very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, Annie, thanks for having me on your show.
It's my pleasure.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I know. It's you're feeling nervous because it's your first time?
It is. I don't get interviewed a lot, so yeah.
Well, I'll try to make this as easy and painless as possible
okay,
for you.
Okay, that'd be great.
You know, start with some easy questions, you know.
Some softballers?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll build up to the more challenging ones.
Okay.
I feel like it's only appropriate that we disclose that we've met before, you know, to the listeners for today.
We have. Yeah, that's true.
In person, actually, in New Orleans this fall.
That's true.
Right,
yes.
Yeah, we were there. I was traveling, and I was just thinking about, you know, I was on this road trip this fall, and I went to all these crazy places. I ate cheese curds in Minnesota.
Cheese curds?
Yeah.
What are cheese curds?
It's like fried cheese. Yeah, it's delicious.
Is it?
Unless you're lactose intolerant.
Well, yeah.
Then which I am, but I still ate them.
And yeah. You just got sick, and you're like, this
no,
is so
fine.
Good. You didn't get sick?
No, it was good.
So something about the deep frying took the
exactly.
lactose out of the
I
cheese?
I think it might have been the two orders of the cheese curds that also helped, you know? My body's like, okay, I get it.
Are they like chips?
No, they're like little fried balls of dough, but fried balls of cheese.
They're fried balls of cheese. Okay.
You know, balls.
Balls, yeah.
Anyway, so that was Minnesota. I was like traveling all over. I saw the Great Lakes. I ate some cheese curds. I went to New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Went to Chicago. Ate some hot dogs. I was wondering, in all your travels all around, like what are some of the weirdest? What's some of the weirdest shit you've eaten?
I guess like haggis is pretty weird.
What is that? Sheep something?
Yeah, it's like sheep intestines.
That just seemed odd. Like, why would some... I mean, I guess
I mean, it's
we
just
eat
like
already
a
muscle.
Sausage. It's a sausage, really. That's all it is.
But it has a good name.
It does, and it looks gross.
Do you ever feel like Mike Myers when you say haggis, like from So I Married an Axe Murderer?
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever felt like Mike Myers in my life. But I can see why you would think that.
But I mean,
of course, when you first said Mike Myers, I was like, Why Mike Myers? Because that's the killer in the Halloween movies. That's the first Mike Myers I go to.
Yeah. Got it. No, I went to, like, you know, Harriet, You Stole My Heart and My Cat.
Yeah, great movie. I love So
I
Married an Axe Murderer.
Excuse me, I believe I ordered the large.
Cappuccino?
Right.
Hello! Yeah. And the great cameo by Charles Grodin.
I don't remember what character he plays in that.
Anthony LaPaglia. The other thing that's funny in that is LaPaglia and Arkin there.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Arkin.
Oh, yeah.
As the, like...
The like, the off... The
really
officers.
Nice...
Oh, and they're, like, faking, like,
yeah,
we're going to be the tough
like,
cop.
Yeah, and he's trying to be badass.
He's like, how'd I do, man?
Was that okay? Was that
was
too
like
much?
A, yeah, was
it too much with the racial slurs? Felt like maybe that was too much.
That's probably, yeah. That movie, though, I mean, Amanda Plummer, right?
Yeah,
as the
she's
sister
good.
Slash,
yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
spoiler alert on So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Amanda Plummer is the axe murderer.
Yeah, she is.
Overprotective sister, which I get, having two sisters.
Yeah. You've axe murdered people?
No.
On behalf of your sisters?
No. But,
You thought about it. You just
yeah,
use
probably.
A gun. It's easier.
I don't know. Yeah, what? That's an interesting idea. What would be your weapon of choice, right?
If I was a crazed murderer?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I don't know.
Shit, this could get dark.
Yeah, this could get dark. I don't know. I'd want to come up with a, like, really creative, original way
mm-hmm.
of murdering people.
That's unexpected. Like, what's that? The Count of Monte Cristo, right? Where he drags that guy down into the catacombs in France and, like, buries him alive.
Yeah.
That's creative.
Yeah, that's creative. But buried alive, you know, that's pretty standard. You know.
Come on, Annie. Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe something. You know what? You know that movie Angel Heart?
No.
Oh, you're so young. Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro.
Hi,
excuse me. That's my answering machine.
Just like a sound effect in the background.
Yeah, I just like to...
Are the cars coming on next?
I'm going to put on a rain machine.
Oh, nice. Or like one of those rain sticks that you find at, like, remember Natural Wonders?
Yeah, one of those.
The stores in the mall from the 90s. Throwback, you know, since you're talking about Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro.
Yes, yes. Okay. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I like those things. Yeah. Those were fun, rain
machines.
It's like
very calming sound, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's very nice. But anyway, it's like...
Angel Heart.
Yeah, Robert De Niro is the devil. And Mickey Rourke is a private detective.
Is it worth watching this movie?
It's
a classic?
Classic. People like it. You know,
like
but it
you?
Was famous at the time because it couldn't get an R rating.
Oh.
They had to chop out all these orgy scenes.
That's a shame. I mean, anytime you have to chop out an orgy scene.
It is. It sort of seems like a waste of a good orgy scene. But it was with the, what's her face from the Cosby Show who is married to Lenny Kravitz?
Oh, yeah. And their daughter's now Zoe.
Yeah.
Williams? No.
No.
She played Denise.
Yes. Denise.
Denise Cosby.
Denise Cosby.
Lisa Bonet.
That's it.
Do you like that pull?
That was a good pull.
Thank you.
Because I wouldn't have remembered.
It's the coffee.
It's kicking in. I hope mine kicks in soon.
And I don't drink it, so I'm going to be like the wired version of your host today.
You don't normally drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm like not a real grown up.
That's crazy. How do you get your caffeine?
I don't do caffeine.
You don't
I'm
do
really
caffeine?
Sensitive to it.
Oh.
But if you put enough milk and sugar, or non-dairy milk, because we've talked about this, so.
Sensitive in what way? Does it give you a tummy ache, or does it just make you too hyper?
I like that you said tummy ache. Do you get a tummy ache?
Does you get a pain in your tum-tum?
No, I'm just, yeah, a little hyper, I think. Like, my system is sensitive, so anything that I put in it can cause a little rile, jack up my heart, you know,
yeah.
Heartbeat.
Yeah, I get it.
So.
I have, like, the opposite thing with, like, medicines that are, like, last week, you know, I had the cold.
Yeah.
And it got really bad, so I decided to get some the Dayquil, you know, and NyQuil,
yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
the. I can't drink it because it's so gross tasting.
So you take a pill?
My wife, Hill, likes to drink it. She
yeah.
drinks the NyQuil.
We know Hill's a drink.
She's a drink. She's a NyQuil drinker. She likes to have a half a bottle of Robitussin before bed.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Dreams. Occasionally, I've been there. I'm not going to hate
we
it.
We all go.
We've all been there. Come
we
on.
All go there.
It's been a dark Thursday night, you know, and you just hit the bottle of Robitussin.
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's all that's in the house. You don't want to go on an errand. Yeah, it's a thing. But I took the Dayquil and it made me so groggy.
Mm.
Like all I wanted to do was lie down. And then I tried the NyQuil and I was sleepless.
See, yeah, that actually happens with me with NyQuil. It doesn't knock me out like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me, I guess, tired, but.
Like your body's tired, but your brain's
yeah, it's like I wanna, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's
yeah.
the worst. I hate that feeling. Like sitting, like feeling exhausted, and you pull a book out and you can read a book
mm-hmm.
all you want to try and, you know, get sleepy, and you get sleepy, but as soon as the lights go out, you're back awake.
Bang!
Yeah, NyQuil, not good. Anyway, Angel Heart. Back to Angel Heart. The reason why I brought it up is in that movie, there's a lot of shots of fans, and I couldn't figure it out.
Okay.
But it was just like creepy fans all the time. And it was supposed to be symbolic of something, but I didn't understand it. There was a lot of weird symbolism about Satan, the occult and stuff in it. But I didn't get why there were constantly fans. But there were a lot of fans.
In the movie.
So maybe if I was a killer, I would want to do something with fans.
Got it. Thank you for bringing it back around, because I couldn't remember how we got there.
Yeah, something with
creative
fans.
Creative death.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, with involving fans. Probably
right.
They'd have to be like heavy industrial fans to do a damage. You can't. Can't get
I mean,
one
the
of
little
those...
house fan that's plastic. Isn't
yeah, you
hurt
can't.
Anybody.
That's not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, no, I hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Like the large kind you'd see on a soundstage, maybe even.
Yeah, it'd have to be metal. Probably sharpen the blades. I'd sharpen the blades.
You know, that reminds me of from Willy Wonka, right? When Charlie and
mm-hmm.
Grandpa almost, like, they take the fizzy bubbly water or whatever
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
go up and they're almost.
Oh my God.
Right?
So that's it.
Fans.
That's it.
Right.
You just figured it out.
Willy Wonka's bubbly water.
I get bubbly water.
And a huge
I
industrial
I force
sharp.
My victims to drink the bubbly water.
This is it. You're welcome.
And then I watch them float up into the fan.
I feel like you have to trademark me a little bit for that suggestion.
No.
I get a code.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should be killing team.
A killing because team. It seems it's like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, it seems
you're
like
Bonnie,
a lot of work.
Clearly, I'm Clyde.
Right. Except we're not crook. Like, we don't rob stuff. We just kill people.
Yet. So are we more...
Was there, like, a lady man serial killing duo team ever? Serial killers are always dudes, except for that one lady.
Eileen Wuornos? Charlize Theron? Yeah. Well, I was also thinking of, you know, Thelma and Louise, but they're really just, like, ladies on the lam who then have to kill themselves. Have to. Right? They feel they have no other out.
Right.
Brad Pitt's character left.
Right.
They've got to clearly drive their car off.
Yeah, because they were sick of all the men. And Michael Madsen didn't remember Susan Sarandon's eye color.
You remember he did. The guy who
remember?
Was her husband. Yeah. I had not remembered that, but that's a good...
Actually, I think he does remember it, but I remember that's her test.
That's
what
a good deal.
What color are my eyes?
Because are you looking at my eyes?
He hesitates for a while. He's like, brown.
Yeah.
She's like, you had to think about it.
You should know.
You should know right away.
Yeah, what color are Hill's eyes?
Brown.
For the listeners, he did not hesitate. He knows.
Well, if you say Hill's eyes, I immediately can picture them in my head.
That's good.
Which is what Susan Sarandon's point was.
Right.
Or Louise, I should say. She was Louise, right?
I actually could. I was like, well, good memory. Because Gina Davis is likely Thelma.
Gina Davis was married to that really funny character actor guy. But I know her name because he, on the phone, he goes, Thelma, what? What, Thelma? God damn it!
Who? What?
He does this, what? What?
The W-H is excellently pronounced.
There's a name for that, but I can't remember what it is.
The pronouncing of the W-H?
Yeah, it's like, that's a proper English thing.
Mm.
You know, like a flutter T. You know a flutter T?
No, please tell me more.
Have, in the word flutter, there are two T's in the middle.
Flutter.
And you're supposed to flutter them, like flutter. Flutter.
Now you sound a bit Irish.
Well, it's, yeah, that's, yeah.
Did you call it a proper English flutter?
I think it's proper English or standard English or something. I learned this in college when we were doing dialects and all that stuff.
Do you have an acting degree?
I do. I have a BFA in acting from NYU.
Oh, that's fancy.
It's a New York university.
A New York university, not the.
It is not the. It is a private university.
Yes.
In the public service is what they say. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Any more than I know what it means when they say on a movie poster that it's a movie inspired by the true life tale that inspired Moby Dick. I don't know what that means. Like, I don't understand that.
You can't wrap your head around that.
It's not Moby Dick. And that's what they're telling me. It's not Moby Dick, but it's kind of like...
It's
kind of like Moby Dick, but it's inspired by the true story that inspired the...
Next sound effect, ladies
and gentlemen.
Well,
there's a lot going on here today. A lot going on.
That was not Todd reacting to the coffee.
No,
that was...
my. Yeah, that was my ringtone, which is George Takei.
Oh, love him.
From Star Trek.
Well, and he's really become kind of, I feel like, has had this resurgence, right, with his Facebook posts? I don't know if that's
Yeah, he's
the
become
way,
like a
cultural icon,
advocate
GLBTQ
for,
rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what he is.
Pretty fantastic.
And that's what, I remember in an interview he said, you know, I understand it's hard to replace words you've been using for a long time, like when people use the word gay negative, that's so gay.
Right.
He's like, and I understand how hard that is to change. So I'm offering my last name, Takei. So
Takei.
You can say that's so Takei.
It's a great offer from him.
There was a very nice offer.
He's helping people redefine it. I think Wanda Sykes did a little bit, or there was a commercial where she's interacting with these young men, and one of them says, that's so gay. And she's like, if your name's Richard and somebody was like, that's so Richard, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, here's George Takei again.
That wasn't George Takei.
Who's this?
That was Roy Scheider.
You've got all of them on
from
your
Jaws.
Yeah.
He's my text alert. He says you're going to need a bigger boat.
So you've got a different voice for the text alert and the phone ringing. What about email?
I don't get email alerts.
Okay. Do you not get emails?
I do get emails.
Are you a Luddite? Wait, is that the word?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I get emails, but I don't get alerts because so much junk email.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be alerted. I'll just check my...
You don't want, like, Taylor Swift's voice every time you have a junk email.
No, I'll check my email periodically.
Fair enough.
That's all I can do.
Once upon a period of 2 days, once a week, once a
month? No, I check my email regularly.
Okay.
I'm good about it.
Great.
I'm good about it.
I mean, you haven't responded to that email I sent you months ago. I apologize. It's fine.
I apologize.
I got over it. I was cried a while.
You cried?
A long time.
I'm sorry. That was obviously... Actually, what happened, if you did send me an email, that's entirely possible.
Yeah, no, I didn't
Because,
send you an email.
Like, a month and a half ago, like, all our emails just got erased.
How did this happen?
I have no idea.
Is it a... Do you feel like we got hacked, or
I don't know.
Hmm. That would be a convenient excuse. I'm not saying you're using it as an excuse, but it would be a convenient excuse to just say, wow, something happened with the server. I really don't know what the fuck was going on.
I don't know. Maybe it is a lie. Maybe I'm living a lie.
Well, I was living a lie because I didn't send you an email.
Oh, well, then what the hell?
Yeah, I know.
You just made me feel guilty for no reason.
Nah, I mean, there's probably another reason you could feel guilty. Not for no reason.
That's
unrelated
a good point.
To that.
Unrelated to that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I already have plenty of guilt that I'm carrying around.
Don't we all?
I'm a Catholic, for crying out
loud. I was going to say, okay, yeah, I don't have the Catholic upbringing, but I have a father who was Catholic, and that led to the religious upbringing in our family.
And the, so you have pastor. Guilt. You have religious guilt?
I've let go of a lot of it.
I feel like I have too, but I think because I was indoctrinated.
Yeah.
That there's stuff that, like... There's my perspective is never going to change on certain things, so I will feel guilty.
It's hard to root it out, right? There's like this bit of like your brain is trained from such a young age to believe certain things about the world. I mean, that happens with a lot of things, right? Where you get your mind blown because your perspective shifts all of a sudden when...
That's what I'm saying. And intellectually,
yeah,
I've let go of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, it's not...
It's hard to root it out of your soul or your gut or
brain. Yeah, exactly.
I like to use the image of like a blanket, and if you pull this one thread out, it's like the whole blanket would collapse, or tapestry.
Right.
And I think when I rooted religion out of my life, there was a little bit of a collapse of the tapestry.
Oh, well, that
as you will.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, I haven't pulled my tapestry thread, I guess. I need to find my tapestry.
And yank on it.
And yank on my tapestry. That sounds weird.
Did you go to Catholic school?
No. I went to Sunday school. I had CCD.
CCD. Catholic.
It's just Sunday school, but usually it's on Mondays or something.
Okay.
Sometimes it was on Sunday.
I definitely went to Sunday school. My father was a pastor. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a really religious college, and it was kind of like the Footloose of colleges.
There was no dancing?
You signed a contract not to dance, and as you know, I'm a dancer.
Yeah.
So it was a weird time.
Did you sneak off to dance?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Did you have a school dance on the other side of the town line?
On the other side of the tracks. In Santa Clarita.
In a basement?
No, but that would have been amazing. No, I was so wrapped up in it. I thought, I'm giving this back because I believe in this. I have this really strong conviction about this religious stuff. So it's fine to give up for a short period of time.
Sure.
But yeah, no dancing, no drinking, no gambling. Because, you know, all those things lead to sex, likely. At least the dancing.
Right. Not in my experience.
No, not in mine either. Really, the sex came and then more dancing.
Yeah.
Like a dance of joy.
A dance of...
Or sorrow.
I like to dance after sex myself, yes.
I mean, it's pretty exciting, right? You're like, if you're not too tired...
Yeah.
And if somebody's done a good job, you're probably too tired.
You're probably too tired.
But maybe it's a post-dance.
Like you have a nap and then you have a dance.
Yeah, it's a dance party and then you're like, okay, I'm ready for more. So maybe dancing does lead to sex.
Yes, I think it does. Yeah, it does.
I mean, John Lithgow would say so.
Yeah, it does. I'm more talking about my own personal dancing does not lead to sex. Leads to the opposite.
Yeah. Which, what is the opposite of sex?
No sex.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, like, quietly, sadly watching television.
Tears.
With tears.
Were there a little tears down
just
the face?
Just too depressed to even satisfy myself. Staring sadly.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you.
No.
It was more like a discomfort laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You're uncomfortable, so you're laughing.
That does happen a lot in my family.
like, uncomfortable laughter?
Yeah, right. Or we talk because we're uncomfortable. There's not, like, a good, like, comfort with silence.
Oh, you're not a quiet, yeah.
Yeah, we're not a quiet bunch.
Yeah, my family's quiet.
Oh, yeah, so repressed. Catholic thing.
Yeah, it's the Catholic thing. But it's, yeah, I don't know, maybe it is, I don't know what it is. You know, you grow up a certain way, you don't think about it until you bring other people into your family.
Because it's like the water that a fish is swimming in, right? They're not aware of this culture.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I'm in my fishbowl,
yep,
just swimming around in a circle, and then I meet
some other weird fish.
Hillary. Yeah. From another fishbowl that I visited.
And she jumped over into your fishbowl.
I came into my fishbowl, and my fish are, they're pretty quiet.
Yeah, well, and I'll retract my statement earlier. It doesn't have to necessarily have to do with repression, right? It could just be a personality or temperament thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There are quiet folks who are not repressed.
That's a good point.
They may have an active life.
I don't know. You know, you'd have to talk to my parents about their levels of repression. I can't speak for them.
Have you ever interviewed them on this? Or have they ever interviewed
you? No, they've never interviewed me. No.
Do you know Nikki Glaser, the comedian? She has a show recently called Not Safe.
Yeah, actually, my friend, I was just having dinner with my friends, Tess and Chris.
Okay.
And Chris is one of the, he's like a showrunner on the cool. on that show.
Yeah. It's pretty funny, and it, as a inappropriate person who doesn't have a great filter at times, I'm speaking for myself,
uh-huh.
but I think maybe you resemble that a bit on occasion. Maybe you have a better filter.
I am, but that doesn't mean that I'll vote for Trump.
Let's come back to that
I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, that, no, I think that's fair.
Because that's what I hear people saying all the time. It's well, like, why do you like Trump? Because he says what's on my mind. And I'm like, oh.
All the racist things that are on and giving voice to people that have felt they had to hide, and perhaps rightfully so.
It's an interesting extreme blowback against the politically correct movement.
Well, and also, I'm curious, it seems a blowback in terms of people that when Obama was elected, right, as our first, people say first black president, I'm always quick to say, you know, first biracial, multiracial president, but this idea that our society has been, had such a strong reaction to him, right? It seems like this backlash and swinging to the other side of people saying, look, we're not ready for this. And
yeah, it's, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Without saying it overtly.
Oh yeah. They don't want to say it overtly.
Nobody says, I don't like Obama because he's black.
No.
They come up with all these other reasons.
Right.
But it's hard. It's hard not to think. I feel like you're making up a lot of this stuff. I mean, is Obama my favorite president? No, but I don't. He's
do you
a politician.
Have a favorite president?
No.
Yeah, I mean, right. Usually.
I mean, in my lifetime, it's always been the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And Obama was clearly the lesser of two evils.
And I actually probably feel more strongly that he's done a lot of really good thing. He was the first person in my lifetime, which is slightly perhaps shorter than other people's lifetime who voted for
my lifetime is super long.
Not as long as my 72-year-old father.
No, that's true.
Who for his entire life, I believe, he said he voted for Obama in both elections, which might surprise some people because he's pretty conservative, was a pastor. But he said Obama was the first Democrat he'd voted for since Carter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, but so I think this man had a way of bringing people together, right? The yes, we can.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
And it wasn't just the oratory, you know, like his powerful oratorical skills.
He is really well spoken. He's.
And so is that kind of elitism? Do you think people also react to that, like Donald Trump just says it like it is, even though
I
do the bad voice. You know,
yeah, I mean, I
all
think,
his supporters
I mean, from all the numbers I understand, I mean, it's for the most part not college educated people who are.
Because he loves the poorly educated, as he's told us.
He loves the poorly educated, and he wants to keep them that way.
So anyone who went to a New York university.
Right.
You know.
Might have a problem with Trump. But, you know.
It's scary, Todd, right?
Sure. I get it. He's just, I mean, him and Sanders, they're two sides of the same coin.
I'm going to have to disagree on that one.
Okay, why?
Well, one of them has been a public servant for most of his life, I'm talking about Bernie Sanders, right. So I think that seems obvious. Who, I mean, pictures have come up, right, showing him fighting for civil rights. He's been a dedicated servant of these causes, fighting systematic racism, caring about people who don't make a ton of
money. I'm not arguing him as being, like, equally rotten as Trump. The platforms that they're running on are his...
Maybe their platforms
like,
are
Sanders says things that, like... Idealistically, I agree with, but I don't understand how he's going to accomplish them any more than I understand how Trump is going to accomplish making Mexico pay for a wall.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I think that's right. That's a tricky one of people wonder how much will he be able to get along across the aisle.
Right.
You know, so to speak.
But what they do have in common
thing to hear.
Well, I mean, but it is that they're both talking about very radical changes.
One seems like radical in terms of like the movie Rad from the 80s, like that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, like the first movie I saw was swearing and bikes.
Sure.
And one seems like a terrifying, you know, equivalent of somebody who doesn't denounce a former KKK wizard. Do they call him a wizard? Grandmaster.
Grand wizard?
Yeah.
It's Grand Wizard, yeah.
I mean, that's scary, and I've been thinking, like, at what point do we have this responsibility to step up, right? This idea of if we don't say anything with Trump, I mean, people in his rallies are getting beaten up for exercising their First Amendment rights, which are to protest and speak their mind. They're literally getting shoved and beaten, and he's saying that he'll defend the people in his rallies, and he's saying his First Amendment rights have been violated. And I don't think he knows what that means, because the government didn't stop his rally in Chicago. He chose to call it off.
Right.
I do not think that word means what you think it means, Mr. Trump.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He says whatever. He'll make shit up.
He makes shit up.
He just... Well,
people don't think that. They think he's telling the truth. He tells it like it is.
Well, it's just amazing. I mean, like, with that whole rally thing, he was saying in a speech, punch these people.
Right?
He said it. And then the punchings happened, and then he said, I don't condone violence.
But you just said that, Mr. Trump.
Just said that.
The record show.
There's tapes everywhere. And he's like, well, no, I was just, we were having a good time.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the raising your right hand and pledge to vote for me thing.
I mean, I think people before have been likening him to Hitler. Apparently, Sarah Silverman was recently on, was it Conan?
Oh,
and
right.
And dressed up as Hitler.
Right, and then said and things like Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, like Trump is, is that really how people see me?
Right.
She's a Bernie fan, I think.
Yeah,
Sarah Silverman.
She is a Bernie fan.
She's feeling the burn.
She does feel the burn. I heard her talking on that Bill Maher show about that.
Do you remember, I think it was her show, this is a total rabbit hole, but we can come back, but her Jesus is Magic show. Do you remember that too?
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite lines from that, she described, you know, kind of her cultural and religious Judaism, and her husband at the time, right, or boyfriend was Christian or Catholic, and she said, you know, if people ask, like, if it's an issue, if, you know, if I ever have kids, if my religious differences and my husband's will make it, you know, will it be a big deal? And she said, well, I just always say, you know, mommy's one of the chosen people and daddy believes that Jesus is magic.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, Hitler... It's an interesting comparison on the level that I think he's blaming other people for things that aren't happening, and like building a wall. Like there are more Mexican immigrants leaving this country every day than there are coming in nowadays.
Is that a true statement?
That is a true statement. The numbers, you know, that's the numbers that they don't tell you, because there's not work. There's no work. That's the only reason they come over here. They leave their families in Mexico, and they'll come over here trying to get work to send money back. Which is why the right is always mad at illegal immigrants because they come and they work and they send money out of the country and they don't spend any here.
Right. So it's kind of like a brain drain in terms of, you know, when you think of people that go to college out of state and then leave, right?
Right.
States get mad because their tax dollars and their investment in this...
in the student is, yeah, right, exactly. But the they're numbers not, they're not telling you is that they're coming here not making any money, so they're turning around and going back home.
And what's always bothered, well, yeah, I don't know, there's so many layers to these complicated things, right? And our right. society obsessed with sound bites that wants the little tiny answer, right? And
right.
I'm sure you could cut together this podcast and, you know, me as the host find something horrible by stitching together Hitler and... feeling the burn.
Yeah, it'll just be a 5-minute podcast where you're just saying, I'm 100% behind Hitler.
And I dance.
And I am a dancer.
After sex.
And I like dancing after sex. Hitler 2016.
Oh my gosh.
No, I would say, no. though, that unlike...
I do not support this message. Todd Robert Anderson.
Unlike Trump, Hitler had more of a plan.
It's so, I mean, yeah, it's just, it's scary. And I was reading something that was saying, you know, when people talk about, oh, I'm going to flee to Canada, who, I wouldn't be surprised if they're building their own wall.
They're going to build a wall.
There's a bromance, I hate that term, right, but there's a bromance brewing between Obama and Trudeau. I mean, who doesn't have a crush on Justin Trudeau?
Yeah, sure, yeah, I get it. Well, maybe, yeah.
Appointed more women to his cabinet than have been in the history, and he's like, it's 2016, people.
They are talking about that.
About what?
In Canada.
Building a wall.
What if Trump becomes president?
So here's the thing, right? People say, well, here's the real privilege, right? People who say, I'm going to Canada if Trump wins, and yet complaining about immigrants fleeing war-torn countries to come to a safe
right,
haven in the
right.
U.S.
Yeah.
Although I don't know that the people who are threatening to leave if Trump wins are the same people who profess hatred of immigrants.
That, yeah, I don't know how, I'm sure there's some crossovers, as there are in anything, but...
always. Venn diagrams, right?
Yeah. Although, I think the fleeing to Canada thing is a little bit of a, it's sort of a white privilege statement.
Yes.
Because poor people aren't going to flee to Canada.
Nope.
They can't afford to flee to Canada.
No.
That's what a rich white person says.
Yeah.
About, that doesn't like Trump.
Yeah.
I'm going to flee to Canada. Yeah.
I'm not nice. Going anywhere.
It's nice that you have that kind of cash.
Right. And a passport. And, you know.
And dual citizenship, I guess.
And time off from work.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of vacation time.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm you just going to cash in all my sick days. And
just set yourself up in Canada, no problem, no biggie.
Have you been to Canada?
I have been to Canada.
Any particular areas in Canada?
I've been to Vancouver.
As have I.
I've been to Toronto, Old Quebec City. And,
is that the one with some of the underground passageways or tunnels?
Quebec? I don't know. I mean, I was there in high school as part of a...
So it's hard to remember back
It was
then.
Like a choral trip. No, I remember it. I just don't remember any tunnels.
Were you in choir? Is this what you mean by
yeah,
choral?
I was
Not
in the
like
chorus.
Digging for choral, but chorus.
No, I was in the chorus.
And what?
It was like a band chorus trip.
Were you a tenor, a bass?
I was a baritone.
A baritone. So that's like between the tenor and
between
the bass.
The tenor and the bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
do you still sing?
No. I didn't really then. I just wanted to go on the trip.
You know, to meet girls in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
And the drink.
Well, they're nice, right?
It was my senior year, and we were 18, so we could
it's
drink.
It's legal there. Got it.
So we were all going out to bars. That was
in Canada,
great.
Eh?
Yeah. Yeah. With all the French people.
Yeah, did you eat poutine? Back to our weird things to eat.
I think I did have poutine.
Is that like the gravy-covered fries?
Yeah, it's like gravy on fries. It's just soggy.
I mean, it's salt, it's carbs.
It's everything you need.
Really, yeah.
It's a square meal, yeah. Yeah, poutine, yeah.
What kind of drinks, what drinks of choice when you were up there? Are you like mostly drinking
beer?
I mean, beer.
I was 18, yeah.
Okay, so
beer.
Now that you're a little wiser and, you know, have slightly more money than to pay for, you know, 3-2 beer in Canada, what would be your drink of choice, Todd Robert Anderson?
At a bar in Canada?
Anywhere. Let's, or here.
You know, scotch would be good.
Uh-huh. Do you have a certain kind? Are you a scotch snob?
I am a scotch snob.
That's
but,
fair enough.
But there's a wide berth of good scotch.
Berth is a great word,
it's
by
just,
the way.
For me, it's... Thanks. For me, it's got to be single malt.
Okay.
And...
As opposed to the double malt that's just...
The blend... Such a wise ass. What kind of wise-ass host are you?
You know, the kind that invites great, great, really kind, optimistic Pollyanna types like yourself on my show.
Okay. Yeah.
Single malt.
Single malt, not Glenlivet.
You're a purist.
Not Glenfiddich.
Okay.
It's got to be at least a Macallan.
Okay.
And yeah. onward. But there's mm-hmm. so many good Scotch whiskeys
available
to us these days.
And are you really a Scotch versus whiskey, or... You know, I mean, there's a big discussion here, right? So,
well, you know, I mean, people like their region. Right? Yeah. People like, if you like bourbon, you like bourbon.
Right. Which is more like Kentucky
That's
style,
yeah, bourbon or like a Tennessee whiskey if you're from here. And then if you're from Canada, you might like that Crown Royal stuff. And then people like Irish whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like any other whiskeys.
Okay.
The only whiskey I've had from another country that I liked on the level that I like a Scotch whiskey was from Tasmania.
Huh. That's not a place you expect to hear, hey, we have a great selection of whiskeys.
They don't.
I mean, I don't know a lot about Tasmania, to be perfectly honest, except for the old cartoon of the devil.
Right. The Tasmanian devil, which was one of my favorite characters.
I mean, he's kind of like Pigpen, right? There's like this swirl around him.
Well, but he's he's rage, and he just wants to eat everything.
Right.
Which is true about actual Tasmanian devils. They're really kind of mean, awful creatures.
What are they?
They're rodent type things.
Like ROUSs?
Like ROUSs. Yeah, they are like ROUSs. And they're really mean.
Okay. Rage is not really an emotion I deal in a lot.
You don't have a lot of rage?
Or maybe it's not expressed well and not practiced.
Okay.
So, you know, if I was to, you know, I don't think I'd be typecast as a rageful bitch in a movie.
No.
Yeah.
You'd have to stretch your acting muscle to be a raging... Okay. I get it.
Is that in your wheelhouse?
I'm very good at playing a jerk.
Okay.
I am. And I'm kind of a jerk in real life, I guess, to a point. But the nice thing about playing a jerk is you're getting paid to play it, to be a jerk. And then at the end of the day, everybody's like, all right, thanks.
And you're when else do you get thanked for being an asshole?
You're so great today. Anytime.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. I'll be a dick again.
So what's it like to be on a set? Like, give me a day in the life when you're getting to be a dick on set and you're getting paid to do so.
Well, it depends on what kind of dick I am. If it's like a murderous dick.
Who's going to kill somebody in a swirling fan after they drink bubbly water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That kind of dick. It can be a different kind of day as opposed to a comedic dick.
Comedic.
Very good.
Da-da-da.
Da. Because, I don't know, it's just a darker place to go.
That's fair.
So if I'm like a serious murderous dick, then I tend to stick to myself as much as possible.
To really get into character.
And I don't, do a lot of socializing.
Fair enough. So but like if you were going to play Dexter...
Yeah.
Or a Dexter-like type.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a little more of a loner. A lone wolf.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's natural. I mean, I'm not like a method actor who's like, no, I can't, don't fucking look, I'm not like that. I'll be social and stuff. But I tend to disappear into my rooms and trailers and stuff. Kind of focus on being, because to be that dark can be disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this, right, from other actors who had to go to really dark places.
Yeah, exactly.
And it can be traumatic, or it pulls up something.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's why I don't want to tap into that rage, because I don't know what's hiding in there.
Yeah, that's a good point. It may be a monster that's inside you, that if you tap into it.
Are you a Walking Dead fan? Do you watch the show
Walking Dead? I watch the show.
Fan is maybe too strong.
Fan is probably too strong.
Are you a fan of, I mean, other than Scotch whiskey, like single malt, like would you use the word fan ever to describe yourself?
Sure. I mean, I love zombies.
Okay. Oh, yes, we've talked about this.
So that's why
yeah.
I watched that show.
Did you watch last night's episode?
No, I'm like
way behind.
Episodes behind.
Okay, then I won't. I'm not going to do any spoiler alerts.
Okay. Yeah, last night I watched Baskets.
Oh, was that the Zach Galifianakis show?
Yeah.
I am a clown. I've only seen the preview.
It's such a weird show. It is so weird.
Tell me more.
I like it. And it's funny. And sometimes it's fucking hilarious, like, make you cry. But sometimes it's not.
So the juxtaposition.
Yeah, I mean, he's an unlikable loser. Like Baskets is the worst. Hmm. He's just the worst.
But you're on a show called You're the Worst.
I am.
So this is even the worser.
I mean, my show is about affluent, awful people. This is a show about a broke...
So we're talking about intersectionality here.
Yeah. Right?
Social
yeah.
economic status. Yeah.
And sort of the greatest part of the show is his mother is portrayed by Louis Anderson.
I don't know if I know who that is.
Louis Anderson is a comic. He's a stand-up big guy.
Plays Zach's mother.
Yeah, and he was, like, really big in the 80s and 90s, and he had, like, a talk show and a sitcom and all that stuff. And I, you know, haven't heard much of him.
Huh.
And then he just turns up and he's playing Zach Galifianakis' mother. And he is so fucking funny.
Huh.
But it kind of makes sense because so much of his act was about, like, his mother nagging him.
Okay.
Like, he was one of the... You know how Jim Gaffigan? You know Jim Gaffigan?
Yep.
He has that, like, voice that he does... Like, it's like a voice that's commenting on himself yep. and what he's doing.
It's like internal monologue.
So Louis Anderson sort of did that,
mm.
but it was more specific to, it was his mother.
So this is like a, what's the, I'll pull it later. I'm trying to think, a gestalt, you know, this like form of therapy. Have you heard of this? Like
no.
Where, I was a counselor for a while, career counselor. And so we talked about these like different methodologies and there's a, I'm going to poorly explain this, but gestalt is this idea or this practitioner that said, you know, we're going to use a chair and pretend your mother is or somebody's sitting there, you know, and talking to you. And what might you say
right,
to this person?
Right.
And so, you know, I could imagine this Louis Anderson, right, is talking to his mother or coming up with what his mother might say.
Exactly. And she's all, you know, and she's disapproving of everything.
You know.
And that's the character he plays in this.
She's
so funny. Just, well, it's... Like it's her son's a failure, and she's got other sons who are not failures, and she's always rubbing their success. She's so passive aggressive. It's fucking hilarious. It really is funny. Yeah, and so I watched that.
Can be funny and painful in real life.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, I mean, especially on the cable shows now, like so much of the comedy is gone down that road, like darkness, unpleasant people, discomfort, sort of that office thing of awkwardness,
right.
and
people get drawn in.
People who
it's like
are
a
not,
car accident you can't turn away from, right?
Yeah, and I think it's sort of the evolution of television too, because. Now there's, you know, shows being produced for less money that are in the control of artists' hands. And I think that those, you know, even though you might not be as horrible and messed up as a dude named Baskets, there's stuff in Baskets that you recognize in yourself that makes you laugh. Like, and he's behaving like, you know, like Trump in such a way where he's being rude and awful and that makes you laugh. Because, you know, if you didn't have a filter, maybe you'd say stuff like that to people in your life. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, like, these awful people, like on You're the Worst or whatever, like a lot of shows. Like,
yeah.
Seinfeld, too, is that way.
Because
yep. they were all awful people.
Well, in
people.
The Office, like you said. And it's
and
almost
Curb Your
this,
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
It's like...
A little Larry David.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like this reaction, too, in some of those still scripted but somewhat improv shows to reality television, right? Where you're kind of having this, we're looking at someone and they're trying to show us what like, MTV, I mean...
Right,
like,
right.
All these years of, like, that show, you know... why can't I even think of the name of the show right now?
Reality... reality...
Where they all live in the same house.
The real show, reality... Yeah. What the hell is it called?
Why can't we think of it?
Oh my God.
Real World.
That's
for all
it.
Those years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And is that show even still on?
No, but now they have, like,
whatever.
Big Brother or whatever.
Or The Bachelor,
yeah.
Jeez.
So many. There's so many shows. And there's so many, like, every reality show that ever was now has a naked version.
Oh, like naked dating. Naked and afraid, which is like Survivor naked.
Yeah, and I swear I saw one, it was like naked, like carpentry. It was like a guy building a house with no clothes on. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Aren't there also like, yeah, I guess the naked dating, I feel like the other ones where it's like removing other senses, like the go blind into a restaurant, right? You eat in these like in the dark.
Yeah.
Dating in the dark.
Dating in the dark. Yeah.
Okay.
Naked dating. I watched an episode of that.
That can't be pleasant. I mean, I guess in some ways you like your barriers are let down.
Well, that's what they all say, but it's a reality show.
So they're getting paid to be there.
Well, yeah, and they're very specific kind of. They're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna dig up people who are nudists and reasonable. You know. To be on that show, they find crazy fucking people. But everybody on the show...
that's the job of the casting director on these shows, right?
Yeah, because you want it to be volatile. So, I mean, there's usually, like, a couple really good-looking people...
Yeah.
...who are the even-keeled people who wind up together at the end of the show. And they're all everybody else is just crazy and naked.
Yep.
And unpleasant.
I mean, when I want to be naked, I want to be naked. But probably not on national television when I'm meeting someone for the first time.
No.
A blind date is already...
No, but they did say that about, like, everybody on the show says there is a nice thing about meeting naked because you get that shit out of the way and it doesn't matter, is what they say.
You think they should layer that into Tinder, like, now?
Don't people do that on their own?
Yeah, fair enough.
They just send dick pics. Do you get dick pics?
I've totally gotten unsolicited dick pics.
Unsolicited? What do you do with an unsolicited dick pic?
Well,
do you just show it to your friends and giggle?
No, sometimes it's more awkward. But I did get a funny response that was a picture of Dick Van Dyke that was somebody posted recently that said unsolicited dick pic. And that I thought was hilarious.
That is good.
I mean, because, you know, he's a classic. But no, you know, you're like talking with somebody and maybe you're even flirting, text exchanging.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bam, just on my phone, like... And sometimes,
dick.
Too, like, let me be honest, right? I don't know if this is a gendered thing, but I can get turned on visually, but at the same time, like, I really have to engage with somebody. Like, there's a John Waters quote that says, if you go home with someone and they don't have books, don't fuck them.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Right, yeah.
You want to know that you can have a conversation with this person.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Post-coital cuddle, you know, we're going to be able to talk.
Right. How bad is this going to get after,
so, yeah. All that to say, like, for me, just this, like, random shot of somebody's junk isn't going to do it for me. That's, like, not, like, the most appealing part of a human body
now,
to look at in isolation.
And were they erections?
Not always.
They sent you flaccid,
like,
penis?
Scrotum, and, like, sometimes, like, dry, and you're just
why?
Like...
Why?
This is, like, is that really what you're leading with? Like... You know, I could see, like, the suggestive picture that's, like, maybe, like, you know, shorts dropped a little and you've got this, like, cut abs or whatever, but
sure,
just
sure.
Going straight for the...
Like the Anthony Weiner?
Oh, God. Right? Back to politics. I mean, if Donald Trump even leaked a dick pic, it's not going to matter. It'd be tiny, right? Although he tells us we have to...
There's no problem. That's
tiny.
What he said.
There's no problem.
I assure you, there's no problem here.
And we know that he always tells the truth.
Yeah.
Is it orange is the question, right?
I don't know.
Now you have an unsolicited image of a dick
You
pic.
Put Trump's dick in my head.
You know what? You let it go there.
Yeah. This is the problem with
but
Mondays.
Guys, unless you're gay, probably, and like on Grindr and exchanging dick pics, you're probably not getting unsolicited dick or pussy pictures.
I don't think so.
I mean, Hillary maybe sends them to you and you don't mind. Sorry, Hillary.
She can send me whatever.
Yeah, you
pictures.
Would welcome that, but,
yeah, but
back
that
in
doesn't,
the day.
Yeah, that doesn't... Well, I mean, you know, back in the day, there was no such thing as unsolicited dick pics. That wasn't a thing that I had to hassle with
Fair
at
enough.
All.
Right.
But I find that interesting how that's such a thing.
It's a weird thing. Just in general, like, I've been, you know, recently on the Tinder...
Mm-hmm.
Like the call, right? Your swipe.
Swiping.
Which a friend of mine called it like video games of dating, right? Because
yeah.
It is like Lumosity or one of these apps. It's like brain training. You're like left, right, no, quick,
Right.
It's weird.
It is weird.
And it's a strange way, because you're like, I don't want to superficially judge someone, but some people you're like, yeah, creepy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're going to lead with? Whether it's a dick pic or not, or something.
Well, I guess that's kind of good, though.
I guess you can eliminate some folks quick.
I mean, there's downsides and upsides. I think that's an upside. I think a downside is that you can create a virtual relationship with somebody that you haven't actually met.
That's why you gotta meet soon.
And then
right?
you meet, and it's like, oh.
Oh, that's happened too for me. It was really interesting. I've just, like, went on a couple dates where you're like, okay, I was having this good chat. And then you get there and you're like, crickets.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? Like, I texted a friend that I was like, I don't want to let Tinder steal the magic or the possibility of magic. Like, I don't want this to set the bar so low.
Right.
You know? And then I went on a date a couple months ago, and it was awesome. Like, through Tinder, you know? And you're like, so then you just feel, like, lucky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do think it's you know, it's a numbers game.
Maybe.
Like, online dating, I think...
Like, the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's easier to increase your numbers, I guess, online, versus before there was online dating,
mm-hmm.
and you had to go out and meet people,
mm-hmm.
you know, either through friends or, you know, I mean, I was never good at going to bar, I mean, I had friends who were like, that had that game, like in New York, my mm-hmm. college buddies would be like, hey, let's go out to a club, and they do that, and I just stand there and go, I can't just approach women in a loud place and be like, hey, what's going on?
It's not really conducive to, like, a meaningful connection with someone,
no,
let's say.
No.
You know, what's funny is I got stood up from, at that time, it's like a year ago, on an OkCupid date. I got stood up by this guy who we realized we had friends in common. So I thought, this is great. Like, I know he's not a creepy axe murderer because my friends can vouch for him. And then he stands me up. I get a text the next day. The reason he stood me up, his dog was at the vet. And I was like, so you're waiting all day for your dog and you can't send me a text while you're waiting? Like,
that doesn't sound... real.
But that night I was like, well, fuck it. I was going to go out for a burger and a beer, so I'm fucking taking myself. And I am not afraid to meet strangers. So I ran, walked up to this group of people and said, after surveying an outdoor situation where I was like, creepy table, okay, two guys with beers and a cute looking lady, walked up to them. I ended up dating a guy at that table I met for 6 months. So yeah. Thank you to online dating, right? And getting stood up.
Yeah.
Met somebody in real life.
Yeah.
This is nice. We have an unexpected guest here.
This is...
could you introduce our new guest, Todd?
This is Ron the Cat. Hi, Ron.
Ron the Cat, who also has a sibling named...
Ginny.
So they're Weasleys.
Yes.
Because your home is full of gingers.
They're ginger cats.
Yeah, ginger cats, yeah. Are you excited about... I mean, I don't know if this is your doing and naming them after Harry Potter characters, but of the new Harry Potter world opening at Universal?
I'm excited for my son.
Okay. So Colby's a Harry Potter fan.
He's a big Harry Potter fan.
And
Hillary likes Harry Potter.
She's a fan, yeah. Well, again, you're all redheads.
Yeah. Those movies, I never read the books. Colby's read all the books.
So he's a real fan.
Yeah, he's a super fan. Well, he's a very avid reader, and he really likes fantasy stuff.
So your kid is going to have no problem down the road, sorry to say, you know, following through in John Waters' footsteps, because there will always be books at his house.
Yes, yeah. The what's that called when you are attracted to intelligence?
Sapiosexual.
Sapiosexual.
Yeah.
He will be attracting sapiosexual. I hope.
You know what? It's a great kind.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely a sapiosexual person myself.
Bye, Ron. Thanks for visiting the Tomcast. We've really appreciated your quiet but thoughtful input.
Yeah. He's not always quiet. Sometimes he meows very loudly.
Meow.
Especially in the middle of the fucking night.
That's always appreciated, right?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm awake now!
Oh.
Can I sit on your face?
I had...
That's something you want to hear in the middle of the night,
yeah,
but not from your cat.
Not from the cat. Yeah. yeah, in the middle of the night. Yeah, that'd be alright. That'd be interesting. In the dead of night, if suddenly my wife was sitting on my face. I wonder... I'd probably go with it. You know, but
I mean,
I think
really, let's be honest.
I'd be confused.
It might take a minute.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the...
Unsolicited dick pic? What?
What? What happened? Have you ever asked for a dick pic?
No, but I get people asking for like, you know, suggestive or more pictures all the
time. Do you shoot them? Do you shoot them out?
Fifth Amendment? Can I plead the fifth here?
Well, I was just wondering, because I was listening to a podcast with these.
So it's like research because of this podcast you were going to guest appear.
Well, I do a lot of driving.
Oh, okay.
So I listen to a lot of podcasts. Okay. In a weird way, they kind of saved my sanity.
That's fair.
Because I was, you know, always listening to music in the car because I didn't like talk radio.
Yeah.
You know, I'd listen to NPR for like 20 minutes to get the news, but that was it.
That's it, yep.
I don't like talk radio. I just don't like those personalities that are in talk radio. I don't know. There's something about it. It's too bombastic.
Yeah, I could see that. It's not your style.
But then in the podcast thing, and also podcasts are, you know, especially at the beginning, were so independently produced and they have no rules and it can be about anything. And this one particular one that I've been listening to is these two, you know, funny writer type women, but they're very crass.
Excellent.
And I like crass women.
Yeah. So like Garfunkel and Oates. Are you a fan of their?
Yeah, exactly.
Their comedic.
And then these girls are, yeah.
Fuck me in the ass because I love Jesus.
I should say women, not girls. These women are constantly complaining about about dick pics, you know?
Yeah.
And the unsolicited dick pic. And then one of them was griping because she's like, you know, he sends me a dick pic and I can tell it's an old picture. It's just like a go-to shot of his erection. Like, he was telling me he was really horny, and then he sends me this obviously
staged
old picture. And I was like, that's really interesting, because it's like, he's... It's an interesting complaint to have about a dick pic. It's like, if you're gonna send it,
email. Like, I want something fresh and authentic.
Right, exactly. If you're telling me you're horny for me, you better send me
a picture of your dick horny for me, not for somebody else.
Exactly.
2 months or 3 years ago. Yeah.
Exactly. I thought that was a really funny complaint. But then I thought about it. I was like, well, I guess that makes sense.
Well, I think there is this strange thing of, they send the dick pic, and I don't know if people think this is really going to get them turned on, because it doesn't usually. That, like, for me, I was like, wah, wah, you know? Like, you lost
your lady boner died at the sight of a dick pic?
Yeah, of a flaccid, wrinkly, you know, like, really.
Well, that really makes no sense.
Right?
That really makes no sense.
That's your selling point. Anyway.
I mean, to have the brashness to assume somebody wants to see a picture of your dick.
Yeah, unless they've asked, or if you've been together before, right? Like,
if you're
a lover and you're like, okay, we're lover.
I mean, you can develop those kind of relationships with people, but when it's new, it's a bizarre choice to make.
It's definitely a strange creative choice.
And to send a flaccid...
Or just not even that, but just, like, who wants a picture of balls? I'm not saying I don't want to hang out with them or, you know, engage with them in the moment.
Right, right.
But that, this is really devolved our conversation.
You don't think to yourself, I really got to see this guy's balls before we commit to anything. You know?
Yeah.
Because if I don't like his balls...
It's over.
It's what... He better have some nice-looking balls. There's no such thing as nice-looking balls. Is there?
Probably.
Have you ever seen a pair of balls and been like, those are some nice-looking balls?
No. I mean, penises where you're like, that's a beautiful penis.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Sure. The penis has certain...
Yeah, but no, balls, usually it's like there's one or
it's
there's...
It's a sack of meat. It's a sack of meat. Like what? Yeah.
Delicious. Back to cheese curds and poutine.
I'd like a sack of meat with a side of poutine.
Oh, my God.
Please?
It's
essentially what haggis is, a sack of meat.
This is really... We've come full circle.
Yeah, I wanted to get us back to haggis.
I mean, I have a friend's band, a band called Enter the Haggis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Right. It's just, I mean, it's a unique
Enter
name.
The Haggis.
Yeah, yeah, you might check it out.
Yeah. Haggis would be also a good name for, like, a witch.
Haggis. Like, who's... now there's, like, a Harry Potter character. Haggard? No. What's
Hogwart?
His name? Hogwarts is the name of the school. The,
I don't know anything about Harry Potter.
Oh, man, you're really disappointing yourself.
I feel like there was a witch in the movie.
Hagrid. is a wizard, though, and he, like, works at the school. He's, like, the big giant guy.
What were you saying? That
Haggis.
Guy.
I don't think so.
No, I feel like the witch in Pumpkinhead, the movie Pumpkinhead from the 80s with Lance Henriksen. Did you ever see Pumpkinhead?
My 80s movie watching and music listening was stunted.
Was minimized by...
Given the religious upbringing, you know? Right. I was listening to a lot of Amy Grant, Todd, sure. and Michael W. Smith.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
solid
DC
stuff.
Talk.
Sure, sure.
Later, Jars of Clay, before they, you know, went mainstream. They were Christian band. I saw them live.
Jars of Clay.
Oh, yeah. Rain on...
Did they put on a good show?
They did. There was moshing. You know, Christian kids
Christian
getting their mosh on. Oh, yeah.
I think that's awesome. So, this show's... How long is your show? Like an hour?
Yeah. You know, give or take. We're kind of flexible on time. But, okay. You know, if there's anything that you wanted to say...
Were there any
questions
that you didn't get to that you really wanted to get to that you had planned out? Or is the Haggis and Dick Pick combos enough?
You know, we
and then Trump, and we talked Trump.
We did talk religious,
yeah.
religion,
sex. Trump, sex.
You know, there was one thing I was going to ask. Have you heard that recently California passed the first state to pass a law requiring sexual consent education in high schools? So for high school students to pass high school, they have to take a class, not just on sex ed, but sexual consent.
Good.
Right?
I think that's great.
It seems great, and it seems like a great follow-up given the success of Lady Gaga's song, Till It Happens to You. Did you watch the Oscars?
I did.
And what did you think of her powerfully epic performance?
I didn't watch that part.
Oh, Todd.
I think at that point...
It was well into the evening, but you were done?
Yeah, I was at an Oscar party that I go to annually, and people were drunk. And I was drunk and gregarious.
Yeah, so they care about drinking the Scotch whiskey more than, you know, sexual assault survivors? That's nice.
Well, no, it's not like that. I think we weren't paying attention. But
that's fair.
But that's a good message, and I'm glad Lady Gaga's getting it out there. I think it's very good that there's sexual consent being taught in schools.
Yeah.
Like, it really should happen... In my mind, right from birth.
Well, yeah, and that's, I don't know, you're a parent. That seems like a tricky one to, how do you reinforce that or talk
about
earlier?
Well, I think it just starts, you know, with, I don't know. I mean, I hope my kid is a gentleman.
My sister's rule with her kid, they say, well, the only rule we have in our house, baby, is don't be a dick.
Right.
Which seems like a good rule.
That is a good rule.
Now, he's 16 months, so I'm not sure he really understands that yet.
He probably not, but he'll get there.
Yeah.
You know, because they do soak these things up.
Yeah.
And if you start them young, just like if you start someone young with Catholic guilt.
Right.
From birth.
It'll be ingrained.
It'll be ingrained.
Well,
so you can do the same thing with not sending dick pics.
Well, yeah, exactly. Maybe the dick pic problem will be solved if this consent thing is taught earlier. Like, know that... An unsolicited dick pic, unless it's Dick Van Dyke, and most people should welcome that, although not everybody likes his brand of humor and performance.
It's a little dated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with that. I'm into vintage things.
Yeah, no, I like... The old Dick Van Dyke show is great.
Well, and like Mary Poppins, I mean...
Yeah, this friend of mine on Twitter the other day pointed out that... Because he was watching... his name is James Urbaniak. He was watching an old Dick Van Dyke show.
Yeah.
And he was like, there was just a bit where, like, she put something in his pocket, like, snuck something in his pocket.
Okay.
Mary Tyler Moore, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, he was tickled, like, physically tickled and did, like, his Dick Van Dyke getting tickled thing.
Yeah.
And this guy, James, sort of lamented that that's not a thing that happens in comedy anymore, like the accidental, involuntary tickling.
Right, the giggly. Like, you don't get the, like, hee-hee-hee.
Yeah, you don't.
Tee-hee-hee. It's more of, you know, sad.
Well, baskets. Nobody gets accidentally tickled anymore. That doesn't happen.
I guess I have been, but yeah, but I'm
well,
not,
you have been in real life,
comedy.
But on shows,
yeah.
You don't, you know, not once during Baskets was anyone...
That's a shame, really.
And that's a show about a clown.
Can you reach out to Zach Galifianakis?
I'm going to write him a stern letter.
Okay. I think that's
get some
like
involuntary,
a strongly worded letter.
Yeah, involuntary tickling. Make it happen.
Okay, so yeah, tickling.
Tickling,
sexual
consensual.
Consent, no more
tickling,
unsolicited dick pics.
No more.
Everyone should try Haggis? Was that the message?
No.
No, that's not a takeaway, I don't think.
No, you don't have to try. You don't have to try haggis, but it's not that big a deal. If you're a sausage, if you've ever eaten sausage.
I've eaten sausage.
It's not that. It's not that big a deal.
Okay.
I don't know. You've eaten sausage.
Yeah.
Unsolicited dick pic sausage or
I was being literal, like
literal,
you know, like
breakfast sausage.
Yep, or bratwurst.
Bratwurst,
come on,
some brats. I didn't know. I don't know where the innuendos begin and end.
That's fair. They're hard to follow.
I'm very, very dumb. I'm easily confused, flummoxed. I'm easily flummoxed.
Great word.
Bamboozled.
I appreciate you, despite your flummoxed and bamboozling, sticking with me on this podcast, and hopefully you've enjoyed your time on the Toncast.
It's been great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.